our feelings are very fluctuating and ephemeral, aren't they? We can't depend on them for 5 minutes at a time. But dwelling on the faithfulness and the love and the mercy of God is always safe because He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of challenge and commitment. Here's your friend, Elizabeth Elliott.
Marriage is both a revolution and a revelation. And I've used those words because there is no word that more adequately describes the enormity, the enormous intensity of the change which has to come about in our lives when we become married people. We expect a certain amount of change. We can't possibly foresee all that it's going to mean. And as Mike Mason has said in his book, The Mystery of Marriage, it's kind of like having a tree in the living room. All of a sudden, there are all kinds of changes and revolutions and revelations in our lives. But it is an awesome privilege to have a husband or a wife, to be given another human being in a special way as a gift from God, in a way that no other two human beings can relate. Occasionally, I get letters of criticism, and I had a letter from one lady saying that if I was going to try to tread on the ground of the psychiatrist or the psychologist, I better go and get a degree in psychiatry or psychology. I better stick rather with the Bible. Well, it is my intention always to stick with the Bible. There will be many things which I say which may be purely opinions, and I would suppose that it will be fairly obvious to you that they are merely my opinions, and you're perfectly free to discard those. But I would hope you'd be much slower to discard anything which I can back up with Scripture. So this seminar is not by any means a sociological study. It's not a historical study. It's not psychological. Nor will it be a sexual study. And I think in that it differs from most of the other seminars on marriage. People who have authority in those fields have very different things to say. But I see marriage primarily as a theological mystery of a profound spiritual character. It is a theological mystery with profound spiritual character, mysterious dimensions. It is ordained by Christ, and it represents the greatest mystery that we know anything about, which is the mystery of Christ in the church. And that is, to me, the heart, the very deepest thing that we know about marriage. In fact, God chose the analogy of marriage to represent the deepest truth that we know anything about in the spiritual realm, the relationship between Christ, who calls himself the bridegroom, and the church, who is called the bride in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, we find the same imagery used to describe the relationship between God as bridegroom and his people Israel as bride. And when Israel went off after other gods, they were committing adultery. So we must constantly be going back and forth between the very human, down-to-earth reality of marriage and what it means for a sinful man to live with a sinful woman 365 days a year and somehow or other make a go of it and get along, and this deep spiritual mystery of the relationship between Christ and the church. And I think the more we can understand the connection there, the more we will be able to act in marriage as God intended us to act. So, first of all, marriage is a total surrender of the self to another person. And that is revolutionary. We are born rebels, aren't we? We are born with the attitude that I am going to do my thing and nobody is going to tell me what to do and don't try because this is my life and I'm going to live my life in my way and you can like it or lump it. Well, you can get away with a certain measure of that as long as you're not married. We all have many other human relationships, and we're going to make those human relationships very tough and very difficult if we do continue in that frame of mind. But we can get away with it to a certain extent, but you just cannot possibly get away with that in a marriage, not for very long. The woman surrenders herself to the man in a very different way than the man surrenders to the woman. And I don't suppose that very many of you men ever thought about surrendering yourself to a woman, and that really is not the imagery that God intends, because the husband is standing in the place of Christ. And so he is the one who initiates, he is the wooer, he is the one who wins, he is the one who protects and provides for and cherishes his wife. But there is a sense in which marriage involves a total surrender of the self. And this means sacrifice. If you don't remember one other word out of everything that I have to say, please remember the word sacrifice. And when I see marriages falling apart and I get piles and piles of letters from people whose marriages are in trouble, asking me for advice and counsel, what I want to say to them is, there is nothing wrong with a marriage that sacrifice wouldn't heal. And of course, I'm called oversimplistic, and that's oversimplification, and that'll never work, and what in the world are you talking about? But I hope that I can explain in this time together what I mean by that. But it starts with this idea of self-surrender. When I think of the word sacrifice as a Christian, I don't think primarily of loss and privation as much as offering and offering. Man comes to this woman that he's fallen madly in love with and he can't live without, and he offers himself to her. I'll never forget when my husband, Addison Leach, was wooing me. He was a widower of 60 years old, and I was a widow of 42. And he wrote me what I used to call his geriatric letter. He wrote, this was before he had actually said, "Will you marry me?" But it was very obvious to me that he was closing in for the kill. And he outlined some of the things that I could expect if I was going to marry an old man. And he wanted to be very straightforward with me and say, "Now look, you've got to take a look at this. 18 years is a big difference. You've been a widow once. You're probably going to be a widow again. Now you've got to face this." And he outlined the fact that one of these days I was going to have to start cleaning his glasses, and then another day I was going to have to take over the driving, and then a whole more odious list of things that I might have to do. And having said all that, at the end of the letter he said, "But having pointed out all of these things that you have to face, here I am, all of me for you forever. But what kind of an offer is that?" And I thought, isn't that an analogy of our offering ourselves as a living sacrifice to God? What do we have to offer when it comes right down to it? What is God taking on when I make my body a living sacrifice and say, "Lord, here I am, all of me for you forever"? But what kind of an offer is that? What is he getting? So there is the surrender of the self. And that was exactly what Ad was making, a surrender of this aging body, which he felt was certainly not much of an offer, not very attractive, but he was hoping that I might be willing to accept it. And I was dying to surrender myself to him. There was nothing in the world that I wanted so much as to belong to that man. And I think that that's the deep instinct, the deep heart's desire of almost every woman that I've ever talked to. Now, I have to be careful and say almost, because I've had a few women tell me that they were greatly insulted by that suggestion. They did not want to surrender themselves to any man, and they were very happy with their singleness, and you have insulted us, they said. So I need to be careful about that. But this surrender of the self is an analogy of the spiritual life, which applies to this institution of marriage. I want to give you an overview of how this analogy works. The conditions of discipleship were three. Jesus said, if you want to be my disciple, you must give up your right to yourself, and you must take up your cross and follow me. And I think that that is exactly the order in which a husband and a wife ought to look at their responsibilities in marriage. First of all, you give up your right to yourself. And we'll get into some of the things that I mean by that. And when I say take up the cross, it's take up all that is involved in daily living together. Take up your cross daily, Jesus said. And lastly, follow me, obey, fulfill the responsibilities which life is going to unfold little by little as you walk together. And these also match the three conditions that Jesus described. He said, if you get married, then the husband must leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they must become one flesh. So leaving and cleaving and becoming one, those are all analogous to exactly what we're supposed to do.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Discipline, The Glad Surrender, and No Graven Image. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.